Christmas. It's going to be a different morning this morning. I say that, but people are telling me if I say every week it's going to be a different morning, then it's not going to be different because that's the same, that it's always different. But this morning we're going to do a baby dedication. We've been in the book of Ephesians, and we will continue the book of Ephesians next week. As I said, we're going to do a baby dedication this morning. And you may say, well, gee whiz, Pastor, we just did this not that long ago, and we'll do it every Sunday if we have more babies to get dedicated, because that's pretty important. One of the things I realized as I was over here worshiping was that we go through phases in our life, right? We all go through phases. I realized, well, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I became a grandfather. You know, that's a different phase of life. You can ask my kids. I treat my grandkids a little different than I treated my kids. At least they perceive that. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but we go through these different phases, and Proverbs 17 says that children's children are a crown to the aged. I'm there. I'm not the child or the child's child, but I'm the aged. That's where I'm at. And my grandkids, yeah, well, yeah, thanks, son, for contributing to that. And there are all kinds of things we could say about kids, right? I mean, In Ephesians, Paul actually addresses both parents and children. He tells dads, do not exasperate your children. Don't wear them out. You ever seen a dad wear out his kids? You ever seen a dad just exasperate, push until the kid can't take it anymore? Wives, do not elbow your husbands at this point. The Bible says, don't exasperate your children. Paul also speaks to children. And he says, if you obey your parents, it's the first command that actually has a promise, and you'll enjoy a long life. How many of you as parents have seen something happening in your child's life and had to holler, stop! And kept them from getting hit by a car, or kept them from doing something that was devastating? Well, I'm telling you, that whole role of parent and child and grandchild, that just doesn't stop. It continues. She's up front, Leroy. You get to walk right up front, brother. Come right in. So God says all kinds of things in his word about the blessing that children are, and yet this morning we have a couple of parents who want to give their children back to God. And I'm not talking about looking for a refund, because I don't really know if there's a lineup for that or a sign up for that. But instead, what they're doing is they're turning their children back over to the Lord. They're recognizing first and foremost that God is God, and that these children that God has bestowed on them, ultimately given them stewardship over, belong to him. We're just stewards. Did you know that? We're just stewards. And we don't have a whole lot of time stewarding them. So while I'm not suggesting that you go to some kind of return line with God with your kid, what I am asking is, have you ever really recognized that your children are a gift from the Lord, and ultimately they belong to him first, and they don't belong to you? The children that we have. You might think, since we're dedicating a baby today or a couple of children, that I'm only talking to those parents. And the truth is, that's not the truth. I'm talking to each one of us. I know many of us have dedicated our children. Our oldest is 30 plus, 32 in a couple of weeks? 33? Oy. Gray hair. Aged. 34. Our youngest is 28? 20, yeah. See, even he had to go. We dedicated our children a long time ago, but how many of you know you have to remind yourself and you have to continue to dedicate your children to the Lord? Sometimes it's a day-by-day step. Sometimes it's like, God, I need to let go of this situation. I need you to take care. They're your children, God. You knit them together. That's what the Bible says. He knit them together in their mother's womb. He formed them. He fashioned them. He hardwired your children. Right? Now, we have input into that. They have friends that have input into it. And certainly, our Creator has input into it. But we need to remind ourselves on a regular basis that our children, first and foremost, belong to Him. And I think, friends, we need to do that on a regular basis. You know what? Otherwise, we try to take control. You ever tried to steer your kid's life? How's that work for you? I had a, Jared has a tandem bicycle. It works really wonderful if you're up front. But if you ever want to check the control level in your life, give me a call. And we'll put you on the back seat. And we'll go for a ride. I took a friend of mine in Hibbing for a ride on it. And I thought he was going to rip the seat right off that I was sitting on. I'm like, dude, all you got to do is pedal. Just pedal, man. I'll do the rest. You wonder if you have control issues. Hop on a back seat of a tandem bike sometime. It'll tell you. It's a barometer. It'll let you know. You think you can steer your kids through life. We have the opportunity to point them. And God does say we need to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That is certainly true. But the reality is, folks, we have to practice letting go of our children very, very young. Have we released our children to Him? Do we really trust? Because, see, that's what it's really about, is do we trust? Do we trust God? He's the one that's in control. Do we trust Him? When we're seeing dark roads ahead, they're knit together by God. We want to take the responsibility. And it seems like so often I sit in my office and I deal with people who want to blame God for the path that their kids, I can't believe they've gone, I can't believe God let them do this, I can't believe God let them do that. And the reality is, it's our responsibility to train them, and then they just have to make some choices. That's tough. That's tough for us. That's hard for us to sit back and watch. But it's real. It's so real that that's what God does with us, right? He builds into our lives, but we have choices to make. Life gets more exciting when a new child enters the family. There's no greater moment, I think, than when a parent, as a pastor, there's no greater moment for me than when a parent gets hold of the fact that their children are really a gift from God and that they want to return them. They want to acknowledge that. Pastors have the privilege of sharing during baby dedication. We dedicating a child acknowledges God's sovereignty, not only over the child, but actually it's more over mom and dad. It's about mom and dad. Today, Devlin and Elisa have come to say that they understand their little girls, Olivia and Selah, belong to the Lord, and that they want to dedicate them back to Him. Last Sunday, we did baptisms. We did 10 baptisms. We'll watch a video about that just a little bit. We call it a believer's baptism, where believers actually make a decision. So you say, well, Pastor, are you going to baptize these kids? No, we don't baptize them. We believe in a believer's baptism, where when you get old enough to say, I know what Jesus did for me, and I want to follow after Him, I want to get baptized, that's when we baptize them. But as children, we dedicate them to the Lord. We turn them over to God. We say, we recognize your leadership. So Devlin and Elisa want to do that today. These little girls are not old enough to make that decision, really, but mom and dad want to present them to the Lord and to point these children to follow after Christ. Parents present their children before God and His people, and they ask for God's grace and His wisdom in carrying out their responsibilities. Parents also come praying that one day their children might trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Right? Man, that just brings me to tears. Thinking that that's kind of what this is all about. Devlin and Lisa, if you truly want Selah and Olivia to one day follow after Christ, you know that you need to lead by example. Deuteronomy says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. One of my favorite memories of my children is watching my father-in-law. We lived in Hibbing, and so Annette's mom and dad would come and visit probably 5 or 6 times a year, 4 or 5 times a year. We'd come here a couple times a year. But to watch Grandpa, when he tucked the kids in at night, tell them Bible truths. He never told them Bible stories. He always told them Bible truths. And I'd walk by, and he was laying in bed with them or sitting on the edge of the bed, telling them about David and Goliath, or telling them about Jonah, or telling them about Noah, or telling them about Abraham, talking about these stories, these Bible truths. And he was grabbing this passage of Scripture, and he was living it out. Impress them on your children. Talk about them. Talk about the commands of the Lord. Talk about God's word when you sit with them at home, when you walk with them along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Deuteronomy makes it clear that it is the duty of every parent to teach their children about Jesus Christ. That's your responsibility as a parent, every one of us. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't stop when they get out of diapers. It continues to grow. It continues to grow. You have the ability to speak into your children's life as teenagers, as young adults. I see my kids having kids, and I see them as peers. They speak into my life in different ways, but that doesn't mean that I have to stop pointing them towards Christ. Right? Well, I'm just going to ask one more time. Right? Won't we believe that? I mean, do we really believe that we get the opportunity? You're older than they are. Does it mean you know everything? No, but you've probably had your rear end kicked a few more times. You've probably fallen down a few more times and had to get up a few more times. You've probably had to fall on Jesus a few more times. Maybe, just maybe, we can point them a little bit closer to God so they don't have to take all the same hits that we hit, right? Four people, only four people, right? Isn't that true? Don't we want to do that for our kids? Or would you rather see them splatted up against the wall just like you were? Because that's the truth. Everything from our attitude to our lifestyle. How many of you know? How many of you know? If you got a lousy attitude, Junior's going to have a lousy attitude. If you say one swear word, he'll say it seven times, and the third time will be in church. Right? Children do in excess what their parents do in moderation. Just let that one sink in for a little bit. So if they hear you walking around the house with worship music on, if they hear you praising, if they hear you going through a real struggle, and instead of sitting out in the garage wallowing in self-pity, they hear you talking to friends who can uplift you, they see you turning to God's word, they will do in excess what you do in moderation.
Praise the Lord.
They will do that. It's our opportunity to build into kids. I know that I didn't always do the best job of it, but even when we correct or when we discipline our children, it should be with the understanding that first and foremost, that child belongs to God, and that should be done out of love. It should be done out of compassion. Look, folks, there are times we screw up, but the reality is God loves our kids, and you're the example. Devlin, man, you're the example. Lisa, you're the example for those little kids. I quoted it earlier, but Proverbs 17, verse 6, children's children are a crown to the aged, and their parents are the pride of their children. Psalms 127, 3, proclaim that the sons are a heritage from the Lord and children a reward from him. As believers, we're called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. That's why we had a VBS this week. We had a vacation Bible study. Somebody came in. We had anywhere, the lowest I saw was 9 kids, and the most I saw was 10 kids. But we had people here teaching about Jesus, teaching our children about Jesus. That's important. That's why we're going to have Sunday school. That's important. Parents are responsible first, but we as a church come alongside. I know that there are men and women who've spoken to my kids' lives, godly men and women from our congregation in Hibbing that spoke into our kids' lives. I know that. Folks, that's what this is all about. This isn't just about Devlin and Lisa. It's about all of us remembering that our children belong to God. And it's our responsibility to parent well. We're told in 1 Samuel that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. And again, if you could only imagine what took place. She wanted a baby so bad, and she cried and she cried and she cried. And for years she went to the temple. And she went to the temple, and she'd be so broken that she'd be praying even though words weren't coming out of her mouth. And the priest actually accused her of being drunk one time. What are you doing? You're drunk. She's like, I'm not drunk. I'm so broken. I just want to have a baby. I want to have a child. I want to have this heritage. And he said, this time next year, you'll have a baby. And when she did, she dedicated that child to the Lord so much so that when that baby quit nursing, she dedicated the baby to the temple, and he stayed there. Samuel stayed there. He was raised in the house of the Lord. I've said this over and over again. We're not looking for that. Just want to be clear. But to give so deeply, to desire so strongly to have that child, and then to recognize that God is in control. God, this child belongs to God. In Luke 2:22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple and dedicated him, presented him to the Lord. Look, here's the reality, folks. This act does not make either one of these girls Christians or Christ followers. It doesn't buy them a place in heaven. Just like each one of us, they'll have to make that personal commitment to Jesus Christ on their own behalf, as they understand what Jesus has done for them. But today, mom and dad, what they're doing is they're making this declaration that they recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ, and they want to dedicate these gifts back to the giver of the gift and acknowledge God's sovereignty. So, as I said before, I know you've heard it, nobody ever told me when I was a young man, when I got married, that when I had a child, I was a dad forever. But you're mom and dad forever at this point. And so I'm going to ask Lisa and Devlin to come on up with the girls. I don't know if you're planning on having anybody come up with you or not, but I'm going to ask you to come on up. And if so, you can do that. And we're going to pray a prayer of blessing and dedication over them. Bless you, man. Good to see you. This is Selah. Can you turn around and wave? You were waving at me, so you can turn around and wave at everybody out there, can't you? Yeah, they all love you, and they're going to pray for you. And this is Olivia. How old is Olivia now?
3 months.
3 months. Look at that. She's just pleased as can be. So, folks, what we believe is that we're dedicating them to the Lord. That's what this is all about. So I'm going to ask you to participate, and by doing that, I'm just going to ask you to stretch out your hand. We believe hands are a sign of blessing. So Father, we just come before you right now with Devlin and Lisa, and I thank you for, first of all, their commitment to you, God. They have committed their marriage to you. I had the pleasure of doing that ceremony and doing that counseling. I know what their heart is towards you. And now they have these two little girls that they just want to say, God, we give them back to you. We dedicate them to you. And in that, Father, what they're doing is they're dedicating themselves to you. They're dedicating themselves to follow after you. They're dedicating themselves to train these children up in the way of the Lord. I pray, God, that you'll give Devlin a strong heart as a man, as a leader in his home, as a father of these little girls, as a husband of this precious wife. God, I pray that you'll give him a strong heart, the heart of a leader, a godly man who's willing to lay down his life for his family, lay down his life for his wife. God, I pray that he would continue to seek you all the days of his life. And for Lisa, Father, I believe she is the epitome of that Proverbs 31 woman who just wants to serve. She wants to be a mom, And God, I pray you'd give her that peace and that grace to be a mom, to Father, I just pray you'd bless her. You'd give her wisdom. You'd give her strength. You'd give her courage. There's going to be times when she's got to be the glue that's holding things together, and she's got to be the one who's stepping up. And Lord, I pray that you'd move in their lives. Every day, God, I pray you'd draw them closer to you, and that they would be the ones who are pouring into these little girls' lives. They'd be following after you, God. Thank you for them. We just pronounce blessing over them right now and over this family in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, man. Love you. God, we just commit these kids to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've not introduced yourselves to the little ones afterwards, you could certainly do that. Bless you. Thanks, guys. I said before that life is kind of about stages. This is one stage. This is one stage in a believer's life. First, that they're dedicated to Christ, right? We did communion today. That's kind of another stage. I want to share a video with you of a stage that we took last week. Last week, we had our church picnic and baptism, and we had the privilege to baptize 10 people. And I'll share a little bit about that, but we're going to share the video first. If you want to do that, Keith, maybe you want to hit the lights and kill the lights a little bit.
Let's start it off here, Grace.
It'd be first, isn't it? Everyone so your mama can see you. And your grandma.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I feel that God has put it on my heart today to be baptized, and I would like to make that commitment.
Right. Kevin McDonald, I was baptized when I was 26, and as a lot of you know, the last 8 years of my life has been more than a challenge that I would wish on anybody, but God brought me through it. And I'm standing here today feeling exceptionally good, and I just want to commit back to the Lord and say thank you for getting me through this mess I've been in. And thank you all for your prayers.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lee, and I come here today because, well, my life is full of sin that I want to get rid of. Amen. And I bless each and every one of you, so I hope I can wash that away and start a new life.
Hello, everybody. Loretta Jurdy, and I guess I never was obedient back when I was first saved, about 40 years ago. So I figured it's time to do it. Felt led by the Lord. He said it's time. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like the sound of symphonies in my ears. It's like holy water on my knees. Hey!
Deb Mosier, I was baptized gave my heart to the Lord and Savior in 1984. I was baptized as a baby, and I just want to follow my walk with Jesus. I'm a believer, and the Bible it says, believe and be baptized.
Amen.
My name is Richard Rosso, and I've believed in the Lord all my life and been serious about it for about a decade now. Got rid of a couple addictions of drinking, smoking, and it's been a long time coming, and I've always wanted to be baptized, and today's the day.
Well, Ryan Lindsay, I've been baptized once before at Lonnie and Linda's a little while back, but, you know, it's, I guess, a good idea to just wipe the slate clean sometime, so that's why I'm here doing it today with my wife. So,
thanks, Ryan. Hi, I'm Meg, and I've had Jesus in my heart for as long as I could remember, thanks to my wonderful, wise and loving parents, but I've just been wanting to do this forever and haven't done it yet, so I was really like gung-ho when I found out this week that you guys were doing this, so thank you for the opportunity to do this.
Amen. So here's what I find out, I find that I just love about this is it doesn't make any difference where you go to church, right? We are the body of Christ, and so when Ryan and Meg found out we were doing this, like, well, can we hop in? Absolutely. I mean, to me, that's just exciting because it's not about CF. It's about the body of Christ, and so I'm gonna get in the water.
Looking for a fresh cleansing. Let's come on up. That's good enough. Doesn't take a lot. Holy water on my skin.
On my skin. I live around here, like everybody else. There's a lot of things that always go on in my life and how I think about the world and. You know, you never know when things are going to go south or west, but God's always there for you, and He tells you to go do things, you go do it, but, you know, I wanted to get baptized because there's a lot of debauchery in my mind, and there's a lot of things that's hit me in my heart every day. I breathe, I walk, I get blessed by the people around me, and you know, I've always been in church, and I've always gone to church since I was maybe about 3, or, well, of course you're not gonna remember anything before that, but, you know, You remember the things that people have done for you because they wanted to see you turn out just fine, too. And from what I can tell you guys right now, I think this is the time that I can make a difference in my life, because everybody who's been making a difference in my life, I'd like to show them that They've done a really good job, and I want to continue to do the same for others.
I like that snazzy tie-dyed shirt. I said that we're going to have a, maybe we turn the lights back on. We're kind of a hodgepodge Sunday this morning. We catching up on things. I've got some certificates for the babies, and I also have some certificates for baptism. So for dedication to baptism, see me after the service, and we'll get you those. One of the things I wanted to share with you this morning is you know that we support missions in Haiti. And I wanted to give you an update. You know, probably just about a month ago now, the president of Haiti was assassinated. And it's affected our missionaries over there. It takes them a while. It sounds almost unbelievable, but sometimes electricity is so precious that your phone may be dead or your computer may be dead for days or weeks at a time. You might not be able to get caught up. Sometimes for me to get a hold of Pastor Leslie takes 3 weeks to a month. And so I got an update from Pastor Leslie last week, and I want to share this with you. I want to let you know what's going on with our churches in Haiti and what's happened. I'll explain a little bit about the presidency over there and what took place. So let me just read this letter to you. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. All around the world, there is far too much pain expressed through anger and vindictive means. The pain is real, yet violence has never answered the world's problems. An update from Haiti. Thank you for your concerns about Haiti and for myself. It is a great privilege to send you an update on the state of our country, as well as my own well-being. On July 7th of this year, our country was faced with the assassination of our president, Jovenel Moïse. This was a result of 2 long years of political strife. The date marks the end of his reign, as well as an unwillingness, I got to kind of add some words here, an unwillingness to relinquish his power. And he wished to change the constitution and remain in power indefinitely. Just a little history here. In Haiti, their constitution allows them a 5-year presidency. And what happened with this president was he got in because the former president left. And so he got in previous to an election. And then he got elected, and so he was looking at a minimum of a 6-year term he thought he should have. And the people of Haiti believed that his term, that 5 years, should have started when he first got in office. So what happened was he got to the point where he had basically a hit squad, if you will. He had weaponized police to go out and make sure that people kind of fell in line. And so he was looking at changing their constitution, giving the president control for an ongoing period of time. And he was looking at doing away with a couple of political offices in order to be able to stay in power. For 2 years, I'm going to go back to his letter. For 2 years, opposition arose to keep him from leading lawlessly. His strategy was to arm bandits and to intimidate and oppress the people and all opposition. This caused great unrest and insecurity in the country. This resulted in crime, kidnapping, theft, corruption, and the country was unsafe and ungovernable. I will add that this is why we have not been able to go to Haiti on missions project. Haiti is one of the poorest countries in the world. Their average income is $200 a year. And the government is so corrupt. The last attempt I made to go to Haiti or to get a date set up just a week before we were to go, the Port-au-Prince broke out in riots, and that rioting basically continued up and down for about 2 years. So it was just too dangerous for us to go. I'll continue with Pastor Leslie's letter. As a Christian, I cannot rejoice in what has happened, but the end of his reign is a mark of the country's deliverance. Now we are in a period of uncertainty in which no one knows what will happen next. Without a president, the prime minister is leading. However, there are heavy accusations against the prime minister in speculation of his hand in the assassination. We will only know after the president's funeral what the future holds for our country. Furthermore, 3,000 well-armed civilians who worked for the president are ready and willing to start a civil war. in 10 provinces or departments, we'd call them states. Five of them have been cut off from the capital in the south. The bandits have occupied the south gate of Port-au-Prince, shooting at cars and people. Because of this, hunger and medical shortages have started for hospitals in the south. Gasoline has also begun to run low in these areas because there is no transportation between the capital city and this region. Also, in the south, we have 4 churches. These people are hungry, but I can do nothing about it because I have nothing to give. COVID-19 is also fairly prevalent. However, there are no vaccines for our people or protection from this invisible enemy. Pray for us for a denouncement of this crisis, for peace and for security. And once again, peace can reign in our country. Forgive me for the time lost, but I felt that I could not leave you without this update. Thank you for your prayers and your support. Your help is most welcome and appreciated at this time. Sincerely, Pastor Leslie Bertrand. If you will recall, just before this chaos took place, we were experiencing revival in some of our churches. We purchased 25 Bibles to go over there because 25 people had given their life to Christ. We're going to send them more money this week. I had contacted Pastor Leslie. But they really need our prayer for safety, because once money is in their hand, they become a target. I've shared the story of going over there, and we literally bought a ton of rice and a half a ton of beans, and we were told immediately we had to get rid of this product. You got to get it out in the churches because it makes the place that we were staying a target because people are hungry. It's not because people are just willing to be evil or wanting to be evil. They're hungry. They have no food, and the government, we've gone through those gates where the checkpoints where guys are standing with machine guns and you're going to go in or out of the town and you have to go through these checkpoints. And so this seems in some ways so far-fetched, but the reality is it's just not far-fetched. This is the way that of life. And so we will be sending some money to Pastor Leslie this week. Hopefully he can find a way to get food dispensed to some of the churches. I believe there are, at one time he had nearly 20 churches. I believe he's down to 16 or 17 churches that he tries to provide for. We send, you know this, just reaffirm it for those of you who don't, we send $100 a month to 2 pastors there, Pastor Leslie and Pastor Roosevelt. And I will guarantee you that the $100 that we send to Pastor Leslie, he probably doesn't keep more than $10 of that for himself because he's working at trying to feed the people that are around him. We will throw away more money in donuts in a month than he'll keep to feed his family. So that's not a shame on us. We're extremely blessed. And we have the opportunity to pour back and to give into this community. So as a church, we do that. That's part of what we do with your tithes and offerings, just so that you know that money comes from you. There's also a bucket over on the other wall that says Change Haiti, and we do it just by giving change. So we haven't really pushed that in a while, but I just want to encourage you. The other thing I want you to understand is that when you give money towards Haiti, if you give money towards Bibles, if you give money towards food, that all goes towards Haiti. We keep none of that, folks. When we do a missions trip, I don't care whether it's me or if I take 5 of you with me, everybody that goes raises their own money, including me. I don't take my money from your offering to go over there. That money is for Haiti. That's where it goes. So if you choose to give, please know that that's where it's going, and we'll be sending some money over there this week. It just felt like this is a week where we need to just kind of get caught up on some family stuff. And speaking of that, we have the Schroyer family with us. Bo and Jackie, they spoke a couple of months ago. Why don't you come on up? So what happened in your church this morning? Oh, I don't know, a list of about 18 things. Sometimes it's just that way. And the Schroyers come all the way up. The Schroyers are headed for Angola, Africa. This is the last week that they could be with us. I'm going to get out of the way so you and Jackie can take the stage. I'm always in the way, man. Let's be honest. So I just want to give them an opportunity to share a little bit about what God's done, where they're at, and then we want to pray a prayer of blessing over them as they travel and as they commit to however long, a lifetime, right? I'm going to let you take over.
Thank you. Yeah, we just are so thankful for you guys. A lot of you maybe don't know, but I come downstairs on Thursdays, and there's such a group here that just loves us, and the prayer support that I know we get from the Thursday group and from a lot of you who aren't there. We feel it, we love it, and we just wanted to say thank you. So we were here in December. We came with the DeSouzas, who are also in Angola. They're back over there. They've been there since February. And it sounds loud. Yeah. So we're going to actually serve with them. We're leaving here in 2 weeks from Minnesota. We started the visa application process back in June, and as of now, we don't know if we're going to get our visas in a month or in 6 months, or just dealing with the Angolan government. It takes a while. They sign the papers when they feel like it, and so we don't know when we're going. We sold our house, so we're leaving here in 2 weeks and headed down to a place in Florida that we found that's willing to take us for an unknown length of time. So come for a week, come for a year, they don't care. But yeah, we just asked Pastor Tim if you guys would pray over us and send us out. We know that this is a body that loves us and loves missions and that prays to the Lord daily. So that's, we just want to thank you guys and ask for the prayers.
All right. Maybe she wants to. There we go. I saw that hand.
I also just wanted to update a lot of you who heard our story in the beginning. We were originally planning to go to Portugal for a year to learn the language of Portuguese, which is spoken in Angola. But because of COVID, that has changed. Portugal is closed. Their backup option was Brazil, and Brazil is closed. And so actually, this is what we had been praying for all along. Our leadership decided to send us straight to Angola. So we don't have to do that extra year of transition, especially for the kids. I just think that's a big blessing. So yeah, we'll be headed straight into the city in Angola to learn the language for 6 months or so, and then heading into our village of ministry.
So we are blessed, and you know, we're here. We are at the end of our service. I'm going to ask you guys to just step on down here. Bo and Jackie are taking their kids. They don't really know what God's going to do or how long God's going to have them there. And we got to know Bo basically again through the men's group and consequently the rest of their family. We're excited for you. And I just want to give you an opportunity to come on up and to bless them. We'd like to lay hands on them, especially some of you guys from the men's group. I anticipate you'll be up here. So let's stand up. Let's come forward and lay hands on Bo and Jackie and commission them. We're not the ones who are sending them out, but we get to send them out. We get to be part of it. So hallelujah. God, we just thank you so much for Bo and for Jackie and for their children. I pray a hedge of protection. I pray safety over each one of their children right now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would send a spirit of protection around them, Father. You'd go before them. You'd be their rear guard, God. You would comfort them and protect them. You'd keep them safe, Lord. They would be as safe in your arms as they are in Mama's arms. And so, Lord, I just ask that you'd protect them and keep them safe. Father, I pray that you'd soften their hearts. You'd use them. I thank you for Bo and Jackie. They've given up their home and careers and all these things, God, but they've done it for a greater cause, and that's for the kingdom of God. And so we ask for fruitfulness. God, we ask for fruitfulness, that they would see lives changed. They'd see their village transformed. They would actually see, God, that you moved in such a way that people are eternally changed because of their willingness to give. God, we just pronounce blessing over them. You know every step of the way. You know what's going to happen in Florida. You know what's going to happen for them as soon as they hit the streets of Angola. God, you know every step of it. And so we commit that to you this morning. You're a sovereign God, able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. We bless them and we send them out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed today. Have a great day. I know it's been a unique service, but hallelujah.